You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and please, this episode, to have Buddy Nestor, incredible painter, artist, and just a wild, just an encounter with Buddy's art for me is a wild experience, and one which has had me thinking since I first saw his art. Buddy Nestor, thanks so much for joining Something Rather Than Nothing, and just wanted to welcome you to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Buddy, I was just wondering, when you were when you were younger, were you did you see yourself as an artist? Did you do art things? What interest did you do?
I mean, like, if you go back to being real, I think I always sort of did. Even, like, you know, say at certain points, like, where maybe I wasn't creating art, like, you know, and like middle school kind of era, you know, where you kind of chase girls around or into sports or whatever. I always thought of myself as an artist because I drew all the time as a kid. And I was an only child also. So I spent a lot of time, you know, entertaining myself, and drawing for sure was a great way to do that. So, you know, I started drawing, you know, and coloring and all that from the time, you know, you can hold the crayons or someone's willing to give them to you without, you know, thinking you might eat one. So yeah, it's probably drawing.
It takes a little while.
Yeah.
The eating crayon period.
Yeah. And my mom will still talk about, but, I was really, anally specific about details. Like if I was, and you know, this is going back like pre-kindergarten, like if I colored out of the lines, like I guess I just knew like what big posters look like or what like photographs look like. So like drawing, I remember specifically like drawing out of the lines, and I was just using brown on like a monkey cartoon or coloring book, and I lost my fucking mind, like almost like, you know, like blubber puke crying.
Yeah,
because went outside of the lines, which now I think is pretty funny, because what, you know, the stuff that I do for fine art is very like, you know, a lot of the paint's thrown or sanded or kicked or squished, or, you know, it's certainly not like the details are kind of like lost. So it's, I'm kind of the exact opposite now when I make work. It's kind of maybe almost a loss of that control is important for me, because in a certain way I'm, you know, I want to have that control there.
Yeah, like I could see at least initially as far as like the contours of the body or certain parts of the body on some of the recent images of the mouth or the face, and that the contours and the borders are what you're working on. But back when you were a kid, you didn't want to go beyond that border, or you'd kind of lose it, right?
Right. Yeah. 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 I guess so. You know, and you think, like, I guess in your mind as a kid, you have a, what you think might be the perfect way of doing something like that. And it's, you know, it's very specific now. Like when I'm painting, I want to play and, you know, find a new way to do something, you know, a new way to paint possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. Buddy, I've read, you know, some of the things you said and listened to some of your podcasts and such, and learned a little bit about you that way. One of the pieces I connected to was kind of the influences, maybe in your thinking, your work, it doesn't matter. The influences on you of things like film, TV, in particular horror. I'm a big horror fan. I love doom metal in particular, and this show kind of has gone into different areas, such as Friday the 13th fan films and doom metal and some death metal. Okay. But you know, so we range a bit. But for you, what those influences for me are pretty heavy in psychologically as far as what I produce. But what about the TV films that you like, horror movies? What's that for you?
I just now got done watching a horror movie called Tentacles, and to anybody that listens to this, don't watch the movie Tentacles. It's not very good.
There it is. I didn't know we got a review. Thank you, buddy. We'll add that into the show notes.
Yeah, I finished that up like 10 minutes ago. I was really interested in horror movies from the time I was super little. Like, you know, if I had the dates laid out in front of me, like movies like The Omen and Exorcist, I mean, they were super heavy for me. And I'm going to say, trying to think of where I was living. I was probably 4 or 5, you know, watching those. And, you know, and this was like early era cable TV. So,
yeah.
And my mom, you know, she was fine with me watching anything. Like, I guess as long as there wasn't really sex in it, like, then she might have been bummed out. But, like, if it was just people getting their heads blown off or.
Yeah, killing.
She's totally fine with it. But I just remember being like, you know, other movies were fun to watch, but that real true like welling up of fear that you get as a, you know, 4 and 5 year old seeing these things on film and kind of thinking they're real was super effective. So, you know, there was only so many channels, so I would watch those movies. Like I probably watched The Omen as a 5 year old or whatever 30 times. You know, just because they're constantly just rerunning them because there wasn't a lot of channels and there wasn't a lot of content, you know. So those affected me and kind of stayed with me. I watch a lot less horror now because it doesn't get me the same way, you know. And right. I'm jumping about 42 years ahead, but I remember making, like, when you start painting, like, you get to a point where, or at least for me, like, you learn a little bit about color theory and you kind of get a set of skills and, like, okay, now you can paint. So just because you can paint doesn't mean you can make a good painting at all. You know, you've got to have a subject matter, an idea, style, whatever, concept. And I'd been showing in galleries almost from the time I was painting, really from the first, probably the third or fourth painting. I found my, you know, a way to get these things into galleries, which doesn't mean they were good paintings per se, but I was getting them into galleries. Like part of me thought they were important enough that they really should be hung on a wall and, you know, the whole community of the world had to see them. But, you know,
you got to have some of that audacity. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, at the time, I would say like, you know, early on, I'm averaging like a month, you know, because speed wasn't really there, like a month to work on something. And, you know, you put it up and like I had some like kind of like low level museum shows and really nice gallery shows kind of early on with some neat people and probably better artwork. So I'd go to these things and I didn't really know anybody in these art communities. So I'd kind of be by myself with my plastic cup of wine and just watch people like meander past my paintings without even tapping the brakes to look wow. at it, you know? So, you know, going back to the way these horror movies affected me as a kid, I was like, you know, I have to create, or at least, you know, it didn't have to be horror, but I wanted to like kick people in the face and just like, you know, like hit them with the gavel on top of the head and just stop them and like ring their bell, like out of their, you know, their day for a second, at least make them stop and like give it some time. Like if I'm going to take a month, I'm going to give them a reason to give me 10 seconds or more, you know?
Yeah.
And that really was, you know, directly not from horror movies where I was like, you know, I want to make something that's not like, hey, maybe it's not somebody getting their heart cut out. But I want it to be that heavy, you know? So that kind of led me down, you know, this path where people look a little more for sure now, you know, and I'm always asking new questions to see if, you know, I can get that to work better. And it is, you know, a tricky place to play in when you're trying to scare the fuck out of people really without giving them direct scary images, you know?
Right. Well, on that, you got an exhibit at the Dark Art Emporium. I'm new to that. I looked at some of their stuff, and
yeah,
I feel like
cool spot, sure.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. I see they do a podcast as well, and I know it exhibit a Devil's Doorbell. You had a relationship with the Dark Art Emporium, and I'm just and, oh, by the way, congratulations and seeing that. I always love to see somebody having an exhibit like that. They've done such a nice job advertising it and such. But a little bit about your exhibit there.
So it's owned by a Jeremy Schott, who's a great guy who I just really started talking to, say within the last year, maybe 2 years. I've had a couple pieces in here and there, so I'm new with him. Jeremy Cross, and they call them the Jeremys. Jeremy Cross is the curator, and Jeremy Cross really put me in like my first art show, where I was in with like my peers. Like I had done all these art shows before that were, you know, like community galleries or, you know, it was a lot of like me and Sunday painters, you know, kind of thing. And,
sure.
Jeremy Cross was doing something very different than was happening with, contemporary art. It was him and, another painter, Cam Rackham. And they would curate these shows in Los Angeles at a place called Forgotten Saints. And I'm going to say that was in like 2008. So it's going back 13 years. So I went out for that. Like it was a show where it was a lot of the artists I liked, and also like Clown from Slipknot had a 6-foot painting in it. Max Cavalera from Sepultura. So it was like, they were getting all these like, rock dude, you know, or metal dudes in there to do artwork. So you know, for that to go from like kind of community gallery and all of a sudden I'm showing with dudes from Slipknot and Sepultura, like I was like, all right, I'm flying out for that. Like this is really cool. And it wound up being an amazing show. And Jeremy and I didn't exactly like fully meet and hang out. It was a melee. Like this gallery, before they opened the doors for the opening, it had like lines around the block. It was kind of crazy. Like I hadn't been to anything like that.
Fantastic. Wow.
But since then I've shown in a lot of those type of galleries, that like darker galleries, for the most part. And then I curated, I think I've done 6 or 7 shows now. And I've had Jeremy in those shows. So he's come out to the East Coast. A lot of those are like New York or Philly, where I did those. So like Jeremy would come out. So I've had like a, you know, over a decade of relationship with him, and he's a fun guy, makes great art and does really, really great art shows. So, yeah, we have a long relationship there.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's great to hear. And thanks for sharing about that. I always like to learn, more about that. And I gotta fully admit, I saw a couple details about the metal and Sepultura. Mm-hmm. And the type of paintings that were there, I'm like, man, talk about a jamboree. That's a gorgeous thing you got going on there. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. It sounds, I'm just great, great, great thing to hear about. I wanted to ask a couple big questions, buddy, because,
you're like saving the big ones. We're going with the big ones now.
I got a couple. I'll get a couple.
I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
I know I got a couple. I got a couple of easy ones. I'll slip in there too. If you start to lose your footing, you know, I'll be right. Like, "Hey, that vanilla ice cream, quite
yeah,
the
throw me some softballs every now and
quite
again.
The thing, right?" But I do have a big one because I want to know what is art.
I mean, I can only speak for myself. Most importantly to me, it basically keeps the gears turning in one side of my head all the time, whether I'm painting or not painting, to keep me half sane. And, you know, I know a lot of, it seems like goofy to say, like a million people have said, like, it's like therapy, but you know, I really think everybody should do art, and that doesn't mean that a lot of great art would come out of it, but I think people's mental health would be better if they did. But it always keeps the wheels turning on one side of my brain, like whether I'm driving, I'm painting, I'm at the supermarket, I'm I'm always kind of thinking about the next step in a process or maybe an idea that I've got rolling around in my head. So I think it keeps a lot of the, not the demons at bay, but like the bullshit from building up in your brain. So I, you know, for me, again, you can do it to make money, but it, most importantly to me, like it keeps me mentally healthy for sure. And, you know, you get to create a whole new language, you know, if you're lucky enough or you work hard enough, which, you know, it's interesting to people. You know, that's why there's museums of all this shit in every major city in the world, really, because it's interesting. And like, you know, some of that stuff was worthless in its time. And now, you know, they do tours of, you know, thousands of people each day go and view it and discuss it. So this stuff is important to people. It's brain food. So from the, you know, my own personal mental health and staying calm, like that's important, but also being able to throw a new idea out into the world that's never been seen is pretty cool too. Like, even if you have just one fan that's really latches on and gets into it, that's enough. You know, like if you really affected someone's life like that, that's enough. And if they pick up a paintbrush, even better. You know, that's awesome too. That's really mostly what I want, is to excite people enough to start painting.
Yeah, I really appreciate your thoughts, buddy. And there's a lot in there that you know, deeply interests me. I thought about when you're describing some of the things you know, about art, and particularly the healing components. I find that sometimes during this show, it's the category question is not clear about what we're doing, right? Because mm-hmm. at a certain point, it doesn't matter whether somebody's a painter or they're a singer, and at a certain point, it's not quite clear, you know, what, you know, whether what type of performance or what the art is. It has to do with the person, or why they do it, or the experience of the viewer seeing the art compared to the process for you in creating it. There's so many vantage points to go at it, but one of the things that keeps coming up, buddy, is about healing and about language and about mm-hmm. the power of it, that keeps it to be really compelling to me. And there's a lot of psychological aspects. I end up talking about a lot of psychology. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's really hard. I've taken certain breaks here and there, and I can tell I'm more wound up and bitchy, when I'm really not in like a normal work schedule of just getting, you know, just sitting in the chair in the studio and getting some stuff done. But it's hard to say exactly what it does, you know, but it does turn the frequency down and calms me down. But, you know, but that's like, you know, mind moving meditation. You know, otherwise, like I've been buying art books, you know, since like early high school. And, you know, looking at this stuff, other people's work is highly important too. You know, it's really entertaining for me, and it shouldn't be, you know, like if you think about painting, it just sits there and does nothing, but it is, it's visual entertainment that just sits there 2D flat, not moving. It seems like something that shouldn't even be considered now. Like, you know, people could have screens all over their house now that, you know, a television's $100. They could replace all their artwork with little screens and just have rolling pictures all the time. But for some reason, these images are beautiful and entertaining to us. And they still, I mean, I have a whole library room dedicated to just art books. And I love those things. Like, I cherish those things. And I can't put my finger on that. Like, why do I give a shit? You know, like, why did I give a fuck when I was a little kid? But I've always been super, like, seeing a painting that moves you is like this crazy magical thing, you know? And I still get hit like that. Like, it's a little harder for me with music, which I definitely sought out, you know, like pre-internet as a kid. Like, we were finding out about bands right when they came out. I was very interested in digging for music and finding new music. And now, you know, somebody will give me a band once a year that I get really excited about. But painting, that's constantly happening. I'm constantly seeing new artists that are super exciting to me visually and doing. And you know, I guess it's from looking at it for so long and have a sense of the history and kind of contemporary history of what's going on. When I see, I can see when somebody's doing something that's totally new, and that excites me for sure. You know.
Yeah, and the power of that feeling, I heard that the magic that you talk about, I have that experience too, and I appreciate you mention art books, and it is peculiar how I remain attached to them as a source of learning and inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
But it does seem arcane at times, doesn't it, as you paw through them, right?
So I mean, sort of. It's, you know, it's like I understand, like, if I put Slayer on, it's gonna blow my head off, you know, or if I put a movie on, you know, there's CGI and it's amazing and the sound, but like, you know, especially, you know, when we're talking about paintings should be boring as paintings just sitting on a wall, a photograph of a painting in a book should be almost nothing, but
yeah,
they, to me, they're super important. And I mean, I guess they're important to a lot of other people because the books are expensive as shit. So
yeah, no,
people still buy them.
That's okay if it's your book and you have a market for it, but
right.
they can be expensive. Hey, I was wondering your thoughts, buddy, on art now. You know, talking about what is art, but what about art now? I mean, some people have been talking about it in the pandemic. I know I have on my podcast saying, mm-hmm. you know, is it more important? What's art's role right now? You know, we're here February 2021.
I couldn't say anything. I haven't. I mean, well, I'm looking mostly. For me, I'm talking about painting when I'm talking about art, like right now. I mean,
sure,
I'm certainly a fan of everything else as well. I think, I mean, painting moves pretty quickly because of, say, Instagram. But painting and painting styles move pretty slowly in general. So I think probably in another 6 months, like, we could probably see a definite turn of styles or subject matter as people get more and more annoyed and depressed from this pandemic. But I think the sheer amount of work has gone crazy. Just because there's nothing to do other than get your ass in the seat and get some stuff done. So that's the only real positive thing I can see. I don't see any, you know, the movements changing just due to, you know, this pandemic happening. And, you know, I feel like for my work specifically, like, things were kind of okay for the last, you know, maybe short of, 2008 when everything fell apart, things were kind of okay compared to a pandemic, but there's an underlying sadness, depression, like a pull into, you know, whatever, friends, acquaintances die, you know, here and there, you have fights with people, whatever, there's that grit building up in your brain and, you know, in your soul a little bit. So like, I was trying to show that in a time where things are kind of okay. Now that everything's fucking horrible, I don't even know if I want to paint what I paint. And that doesn't mean I want to get darker because it's a much darker time. Like, I almost, you know, want to paint some flowers and puppies and shit because,
yeah,
you know, because I don't want to be reminded that how shitty things are out there. And, you know, and people are dying all over the place from this invisible bugs, you know, that we're all breathing at each other. It's fucking scary.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, we don't need as much scary as I thought we did before. So for me, like, I don't know if I, like, want to kind of paint happier shit because of this. You know, it's kind of like opposite world, at least the way I see it. I'm sure a lot of people are going to latch onto it. And I mean, we're you know, painting wise and photo wise and most certainly video wise, there's going to be a sense of history of how bizarrely strange and 28 days later this whole thing was to go through.
Right. It's a balance. It's like, hey, maybe we're talking about the origin of your balance and harmony period, right? To counteract, right? That's what's going to come out of it. The balance and harmony, visual harmony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, buddy, you grew up, I think you grew up out on the East Coast.
I did.
The geography for this question doesn't necessarily have to dictate its answer, but what or who made you who you are?
Oh, fuck. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything, right? I've ever come experienced, really. I mean, I think right now I'm being brainwashed by you a little bit to become who I am 5 minutes from now. I mean, we're constantly taking in information that's informing the people that we become. So, I don't have a specific, like I wasn't horribly abused or anything. If that's what we're getting, are we?
No, you could be like, I'm just, you know, somebody.
But there is nothing that like sent me like down a specific path. I mean, all the art that I took in, movies, entertainment, you know, and like it's not all metal and you know, and horror movies. Like I like comedy, and I like you know, fishing and a walk through the park. I like the beach. Like I don't just like dreary shit, and like I certainly don't like dress like a goth dude. I'm informed by everything, and I think some of the, especially like in the dark art realm, like people will kind of hyper focus in on that stuff, like dark literature and you know, art specifically, movies, music, whatever. I'm open to all of it. I'm kind of more like in that realm, like a frat boy, where I really don't give a fuck about like the label, and I kind of enjoy the openness of being able to, I don't know, just dig whatever I want to, and really allows me to say whatever I, you know, want to say. Like I don't have to go down like a dark art hipster road. I can kind of be myself, which is a little more goofy than say dark.
Yeah. I totally connect with that too. I wonder about that tension, and I'm sure you must see it a lot, where, you know, what you create becomes, it has a tone or has an interpretation, and people connect with that, and you could still be like, hey, you know, there's a person behind it, and that dynamic, I think a lot of people try to infer a lot from the work back into the artist, right?
I don't get it as much now, and I mean, like I said, when I started really showing in Gal, like, and once I showed, like, you know, with Jeremy and those guys, like I stopped submitting to galleries. Like all of a sudden it was on. And I was getting hit up by galleries constantly after that. So my schedule just filled up completely. But again, so it's 2008, 2009. I had just gotten on Facebook. That was probably around the beginning of Facebook. And I'm uploading these images that not too many people have seen unless they've been to these galleries specifically. Like now, you know, people in dark art realm kind of know what it is. But yeah, right off the bat, like people were saying they thought I was a serial killer and, you know, all kinds of other horrible shit. And, you know, like I was a soccer coach and I played darts 2 nights a week in leagues, and you know, like I was certainly didn't have time to go serial killing. So, you know, and you know, when I say Facebook was new, people didn't really know how to use it. So,
right.
I mean, they still act, you know, comment threads are extremes on either end. It's like, you're the best or you fucking suck. You know, there's never like, hey, you're just okay.
But right.
But back then, it was even weirder, you know, like people didn't really know how to act on there. And they, you know, that, that disconnection where you're behind the keyboard was way bigger, you know, like by now, like people probably have gotten punched in the face for saying like some girl's beautiful. And it, you know, dude's boyfriend figures out where you live and he punches in the face. Like there was no accountability in 2008 and people really didn't know my artwork. So yeah, the extremes on the way they reacted to it were really concerning at first.
Right.
And then I just had to laugh it off and just say like, all right, well, you know, this person that says I'm a serial killer, I'm pretty sure they're an asshole all day long and just do asshole things. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to be bothered by that stuff anymore.
I got a big question for you, buddy.
Oh, another one. For another softball, but go ahead.
Yeah. I know. Why is there something rather than nothing?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I probably should have done my homework on that. Why is there something rather than nothing?
I don't know if homework. I don't know if homework helps.
I guess I just have to go. I mean, it's a weird ass question, so I'm gonna have to go the weird route and just say that like there's something because we're here to experience it. My senses allow me to experience these things around me, and that's why there's something.
Yeah,
that's it. I can't go on at length about that weird question.
No, that's buddy. I'm serious. It's a completely credible answer. Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
Hey, buddy, before I let you go, I actually had a question and about your process of just the basics about the process of how you make your paintings. I was struck in some of the descriptions I read about how long it takes and how many steps there are in your process. And I know it might seem mundane to you, or I don't mean to be intrusive, but I was wondering if just kind of like an outline, when somebody sees some of the images that they'll see, you know, before or after this podcast, what is that?
Yeah. The thing that, you know, and again, nobody can go to galleries right now to see anything, which sucks. Like, yeah, especially with the Dark Art Emporium show that, you know, just finished up. Working on, it was basically 18 total paintings, some which were pretty big, and nobody can go. That was kind of
right.
A bummer. But I mentioned that because, let's say early on when I started putting my work up on, you know, Facebook and had a website and whatever, a lot of people thought my work was digital. And, you know, they're either looking at it on a laptop or, you know, 99% of the time they're looking at it on a phone with a 3-inch screen. So everything blends together and looks like I played around in Photoshop. But if you go to the gallery, these things look like they're run over half the time. Like it's when you say there's lots of layering and all like that, like I kind of start them differently, but each time, but as I build layers, it depends, but usually I'll spray paint the head in with a white, gray and black on top of a gray base. So that like right away, and I do it like outside of my backyard, like even if it's windy, so that like I'm losing control right away of that person's face.
Yeah.
So, but you know, so my base for that person is already screwed up. And, you know, from there, I'll usually brush paint a bit on top of it. And this is all gray tones. Then I come in with graphite and kind of do these little kind of snail trails, outlining things, which is something I did as a kid with like newspapers. Like if you have somebody's cheek that has a highlight on it and you take a pencil, you know, the higher white part versus the darker part, and I outline the white part in a dark pencil, that white part's coming out at you all of a sudden. You know,
okay.
So like it kind of floats up off of like the lower value of the gray, you know, the white pulls up, which I thought was completely magical as a kid, and I definitely ruined some newspapers every single face. So it's something I still do, you know, now 40 years later or whatever. So I'll do a lot of drawing and then kind of interweave all three of those things. So then I'll spray paint again, brush paint again, some more pencil, and then I'll bring in glazes. So I mix a matte medium with a varnish, and I just use primary colors, red, blue, and like a sand yellow. And I intermix them with grays and all this stuff, the grays I use for everything. That's all, it's all acrylic. It's all floor paint that, you know, is meant to be walked on and painted on in cement. So then, you know, at that point I'm glazing thin layers of colored tinted grays. And then, you know, later the really, heavy, like, you know, the red blob stuff comes on, but you know, those are pretty simple as far as figuring out how to do that.
Man. Wow.
Was that boring enough? I was trying to keep that really boring. Well, but part of the thing is awful.
Part of the problem is for the host and a good chunk of the listenership that is a gift to us. Thank you very much, buddy. Hey, I was wondering before we let you go if you could point us in the right direction as far as where to find your art, your images, the art that you do. How can folks find you?
I don't keep my website up anymore. At some point I will, but Facebook is just my name. It's spelled, my last name is Nestor, Nestor. There's only a couple of us out there, but if you find it's either one of my paintings or some totally ridiculous thing is my icon, that'll be me. Instagram, it's buddy.nestor. And again, Nestor. So that's where you're going to find most of my artwork on the internet now.
Oh, great. Hey, serious thanks.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. Good to meet you, man.
Yeah, just really, really great work. And thank you deeply for your time. And hope we get a chance to talk again, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Yeah, I'll do it anytime. Just hit me up. Right. Thank you.
Take care now.
All right, see you. Bye.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.